Grace and peace to you. Welcome to the podcast, One a Day, where we discuss some part of a chapter of Scripture each day. This is August 29th. We begin the book of Revelation. Let's get to it. I'm married to someone who likes to jump to the end of a novel after the first few chapters. The suspense of wondering what will happen to the main characters is too much, and somehow knowing who is left standing at the end helps her to enjoy the story, because she's less stressed while reading it. Well, in the same way, if you want to discuss the meaning of a book or a story, and you haven't finished reading to the end, you're hard-pressed to join in on the discussion, because you're pretty clueless as to what details are important elements, foreshadowing how it all resolves at the end. So, whether you jump ahead or you plod your way through from beginning to the bitter end, it's important for you to read to the end of the book before you talk about it. Now, John has served the church well by writing this book, and those who place it here as the final book of the New Testament understand well the significance of all that is in here. This is the book of Revelation. It contains what it means to read to the end of the book. It is, after all, dealing with the end of all things. Well, here's how John opens his book. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Notice that the book is to be read aloud, and those who hear it are to take its message to heart, because the time is at hand. It was at hand 1900 years ago. Don't you think the time would be even closer today? So let us give special attention to these words, and let us cooperate with God in ushering in the end game. The book of Revelation is written with a style of writing that is called apocalyptic literature. It's not meant to be interpreted literally, but it's filled with symbols and metaphors meant to unveil mysteries. The entire book is a long piece of balanced poetic art explaining the news in images. The very first scene provides an example of this style of writing. Some of the symbols are explained even as they appear, while others are left as the mysteries that they are. Here's how he goes. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. I like this. John was in the Spirit. I'm not sure what that means exactly. John was already worshiping, praying, meditating, being filled with the Holy Spirit, no doubt. He goes on, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. And it lists the seven churches. Right from the start, even before John is taken up into heaven, the voice of Jesus is like a trumpet, loud and beautiful, impossible to ignore. Easy to remember. Then he says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Well, soon he's going to explain that the seven lampstands are the seven churches that were just mentioned. A lampstand could be a reference to the menorah in the Jewish temple, or just part of common life in the first century. In any case, a church is there to bring light to the community in which it's found, and I guess that's why it's called a lampstand. He goes on, and among the lampstands was someone. Jesus dwells and moves among the churches, doesn't he? Among the lampstands. Was someone like a son of man. This was the title Jesus gave himself more than any other, not just a man, but a son of man. The title comes from how God referred to the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament. And then he says that the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet. He wasn't wearing a common worker's robe anymore, but a royal robe of authority and wealth. And John says, and with a golden sash around his chest. Also royal and wealthy, but could be his pure heart and refined motives. John says, the hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, indicating the wisdom of eternity, that he would be so old and so wise. And John says, and his eyes were like blazing fire. They see all. They bring conviction, don't they? John says, his feet were like glowing bronze in a furnace. How lovely are the feet of those who bring good news. His feet are not dirty, not common, but purified, clean, and supernaturally powerful. John says, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. Oh, not just a trumpet, but an overwhelming pink noise that causes everything else to fade into oblivion. In his right hand, he held seven stars. We'll see soon. These stars are the angels, better translated messengers, of the seven churches. Well, that could refer to heavenly angels assigned to each congregation, or it might be more the evangelist or preacher from each. They would be the messenger. John goes on, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. This will be described later as well. His words convict and judge, as well as heal and separate thoughts and motives. Every word is powerful and effective to both wound and to destroy. Maybe that's why it's double-edged. John says his face was like the sun shining in its brilliance. He was holy and pure, enlightened, brilliant. He is the source of all light. He is one with the Creator, his Father. And John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Perhaps he refers to being slain in the Spirit, as some have come to call it. After all, John was already in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, which, by the way, was the first day of the week, sometimes referred to as the eighth day of creation, the day of Jesus' resurrection. In any case, seeing an angel of God causes fear and humble worship, possibly even death to self, and immediate repentance. And then John says, then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. As always, Jesus tells his frightened disciples not to be afraid. We are afraid because we become immediately aware we are in the presence of the one who will judge us. But his response is always the same, do not fear. So this is the type of writing that John will employ throughout the book. It's not hard to grasp, but it is filled with imagery and symbolism. So hold on. Get ready for a great ride through this marvelous book. Let's make sure we read it all the way to the end of the book. But just in case you want to take a peek, know that Jesus wins and we get to be his bride. It's a good ending. Amen.